B-Pod Studios.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. You know Ted Johnson. He played football for a very long time. And Ted, you've butted heads with Belichick negotiating. And how nerve-wracking is it when free agency comes up? And it's like the first hours, and you're with your agent, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. What is that like?
Yeah, it was a very unique experience for me. And good morning, guys. But it was a very just strange experience in a way that I'd never had to deal with with my prior two coaches, that being Bill Parcells and then Pete Carroll. I will never forget. I got a call. I got a call on my cell phone. I was going to a golf trip with my buddies in early March, and I had a signing bonus due in the middle of March. And I get a call from Scott Pioli, and he wants to talk to me about my contract. And I was picking up my buddies from the airport in Miami to go play golf, and I'll never forget. I told Scott, I'm like, well, I'm going to play some golf right now. And hey, just call me back when you have some time. I'm like, no, I'm good. What's on your mind? The point I'm trying to make is I never had anybody call me directly to talk to me about my contract. I mean, basically, Scott Pioli was working for Bill Belichick and just calling me to kind of gauge my reaction to see how I reacted to his phone call and the suggestion of, you know, potentially taking a pay cut going into the 2002 season was something so new and different. And I said to Scott, I'm like, have you called my agent? Oh, yeah, I'm calling Jack right after we get off the phone. I'm like, yeah, why don't you call Jack? That's what I pay him to do, is to talk to you guys. So it was a tactic that I had never, ever experienced before. It kind of threw me for a loop a little bit. But anyway, it was just unique. And Bill will have direct conversations with players when it comes to contract negotiations. And I think that is a very unique situation. I don't think most teams do it that way. They, respect the system and what's kind of how it's, you know, supposed to be done by calling the agent to talk about that stuff. But
what's the benefit of them doing that?
I think they want to, you know, kind of gauge your reaction, maybe put more pressure on you, see how you react to what he's saying.
Do you think scare you a little bit into calling your agent and go, man, I'm getting a weird vibe from this. You know, maybe you should agree to whatever they're... I don't know. I haven't been in, you know, the kind of position you were there. That seems like I'm trying to figure out what the benefit would be.
It's you know, you'd have to ask Bill. There's so many things Bill does, right, that we all kind of go, what was he gleaning from that? What was his overall kind of thought process in making that decision? I mean, we all, and I played for the man for 6 years, and I still have a hard time trying to figure out exactly what it is he's trying to, get by doing some of the things that he does. And it's a very tough deal because Bill... And I said this in the text chain I sent you guys. Bill, there's two things that you do not do to Bill if you want to be on his bad side. And that is, one, don't show up for OTAs or off-season workouts. That automatically puts you behind the eight ball. But the main thing, and I always say, well, people want to go, what is the essence of the Patriot way? All right, I'm going to tell it to you right now. The essence of the Patriot way is accept whatever contract Bill gives you and don't fight it. You just take whatever offer he gives you. There is no haggling. There's no going back and forth. It's not, I start here, you start here, and then we work our way back in the middle. It is, Bill has an offer. That is the offer. If you accept it and take whatever offer he gives you, you'll get along with Bill just fine. If you don't, if you fight it, if you ask for more money, then you will find yourself in his doghouse or on another team.
Did you have a mega agent at the time? Like, in other words, how many clients did your agent have while you were going through all this?
I had an old school agent, Jack Mills. He's still in the business. He's been doing it for about 40 years. And it was funny. I'll never forget. I'm at the Combine back in 1995. And I'm walking through the hotels there in Indy, and every team's just there. And they come up to you. You got your name on the back of your shirt. And they want to come up and just say a few words. And you know what I got asked a lot was, who's your agent? Yeah. And I said, Jack Mills. Oh, Jack, great guy, great guy. Everybody I talked to, great guy, great guy. And I'm like, is this good that everybody right. likes my agent?
Right. You don't almost don't want the teams to like your agent
right.
too much.
Exactly. So he was, Jack, my agent, was a very well-respected but old-school Southerner. For, he's a Texan and just easy to get along with.
Did he have a ton of clients, though? Like, I'm wondering the frustration when, you know, this free agency time comes up. Like, was it... How tough was it sitting there wishing that your guy would get back to you? Because every second that ticks by, it's got to drive you crazy, right?
It's very, very difficult. It really is. And you just, you know, it's tough. I mean, and I had really good contractual experiences under Bill Parcells, under Pete Carroll. Bill, not so much. It was more of, well, you played 15% of the snaps last year. And I'm like, I broke my foot in week one, Bill. So I missed the next 10 games. So there's a viable excuse for a miss. But it didn't matter. You only played, you know, there was a lot of things that were kind of presented to you in their rationale for taking a pay cut that you just were like, really? That's what you're going with? So it feels personal. Although you're told not to take it personal, it can feel very personal with Bill because there's not a lot of, yeah, man, you're great, and we'd love to have you back, and we want to give you what you deserve. It's not like that. And so a lot of guys, I think, experience that when they negotiate contracts. It's not that way necessarily. At least it wasn't through my experience working with Bill.
And you know what's got to suck as a player, too, is that he's kind of right. You know what I mean? I mean, it's an awful way to do business. It's impersonal. But look what it's done.
I wouldn't let him talk to me. I would be like,
not even talking to you, but like negotiating people down and like saying, hey, you know, you only played 15% of the snaps. That's something that as a player like you, I'd be pissed. And the thing that sucks is, as a player is looking at it and going, it works though for the team, and that sucks for players. You know what I mean? It's like it's one of those things that makes it probably even more infuriating because seeing that he knows that it works, he's not going to change his ways. Well, you know what I mean?
But here's the thing though, Rich, is, you know, there's this narrative, and it kind of drives me crazy a little bit, that, you know, when they talk about Tom Brady and how Bill's treating Tom through this whole negotiation as business as usual or he's no different than any other player, that's not true. Like, Bill has guys that he takes care of. I think Devin McCourty is a prime example of a guy that he's clearly, I think, quote-unquote, taken care of. I mean, he's a 33-year-old safety in the NFL going into his 12th year, and he's got a top 10 contract at his position, which is a very physically demanding. It's not a position that's, you know, where it's, you know, for the faint at heart.
Hasn't he earned that? If you look at the money, hasn't he earned that?
Hasn't Tom earned his money?
It's different because of his age. And maybe they know something about
but
Tom.
But a 33-year-old safety versus a 43-year-old quarterback who doesn't look like he's in that much. I think you can make an argument, is all I'm trying to say. That you could say that, man, that's a questionable contract. You overpaid, essentially, for Devin McCourty, in my opinion. You go, Ted, well, he had 5 interceptions last year. Yeah, he did. But they were against some of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen to start the season. And then you didn't hear much from him in the second half. And besides the 5 interceptions, you really didn't notice his impact out there. He got paid because he's a good leader. He's a good soldier for Bill. He's in alignment with Bill on a lot of things when it comes to the locker room. And there's value for that in Bill. And so Bill, I think, overpaid for him. Regardless of the fact he had 5 interceptions, and a lot of people thought maybe at one point in the season that he might have been the defensive MVP, it's just hard for me to kind of sit there and go, yeah, Bill's going to give a guy a top 10 contract who's 33 years old playing defense.
Do you think that means that that's at all indicative of what his plans for Brady are, in that he's basically bringing back McCourty for that money to be a leader? And then, you know, the fact that they pay Slater... Mm-hmm. Does that mean – I've been watching so much Saved by the Bell, I can't say Slater. It's
hang in there, Freddie.
Yeah, I know. It's 3 episodes yesterday with my daughter.
Oh, God.
All right. So if he brings back Slater, do you think that, you know, overspending on McCourty, that maybe this means that when he shifts to another quarterback, he wants the leaders still in the locker room?
Absolutely. There's so much – about timing that goes in. What is the current climate of the team? You know, when it comes to deciding on who to pay and not to pay, he probably overpaid for Devin McCourty in some respects because of the void that's going to be missing there with Tom. And you have an offense that has a lot of question marks, particularly if Tom Brady doesn't come back. So what you need is at least one of your units to have a ton of leaders, have a ton of like just good quality guys. And Devin McCourty, we all know he's a really good guy, good leader. And so, you know, you have to do that. There's a lot of people that have this thinking that, you know, if Tom Brady doesn't come back, you start all over. You purge everybody, you start all over. Are you kidding me? It's the opposite. If Tom, you know, Tom leaves, and I think we all agree that it's looking more and more that way, you think he wants to just purge his team and quote unquote start over and hit the reset button? No way he does. He wants to keep winning to show he can win without Tom. And so he's gonna sign in as many of his what he thinks is his quality players and strong leaders back to help help out with what the leadership void is going to be at the quarterback position.
All right, we're with Ted Johnson in studio, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Thatcher and Rich. You know Ted Johnson. He played football for a very long time. And, Ted, you've butted heads with Belichick negotiating. And how nerve-wracking is it when free agency comes up, and it's like the first hours, and you're with your agent, and you're trying to figure out what's going on? What is that like?
Yeah, it was a very unique experience for me. And good morning, guys. But it was just strange experience in a way that I'd never had to.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. Ted Johnson in studio. And, Ted, you have the Buffalo Bills who bring in Stephon Diggs, and who is a malcontent with the Vikings, but their Bills have been lauded by how they've built this team chemistry, and they've gotten just the right kind of player, and then you bring Stephon Diggs into it, who is a diva receiver and who's got a moron throwing him the football.
But he's good. He is good.
Stephon Diggs is good, but I mean when you have a moron out there, but
some of your moron mistakes, I guess.
Can you? I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him try. How much does bringing in a personality like a diva receiver change anything? Or can you have a solid enough core where it doesn't really move the needle?
I think you can impact a team that maybe doesn't have the best kind of culture established and best, you know, maybe a strong-minded head coach. I think Sean McDermott he's established a culture there, and I do think he's a strong-minded coach. So I think the coach and the culture is established in Buffalo, maybe for the first time in a very long time, in a positive way. The one thing I think you, there's an example of maybe this same scenario that played out last year at this time of year, where you saw the diva receiver be traded to a team where it did, he didn't blow things up, but he was a malcontent. And I think Odell Beckham going to the Cleveland Browns is kind of an example of, you know, Freddie Kitchens was not a strong-minded coach. He did not have a culture established. And you had a young, you know, kind of, you know, arrogant, you know, gunslinging kind of quarterback in Baker Mayfield. And it just didn't work out. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but part of me feels bad for Buffalo. Like, okay, in this sense, like, Buffalo has to do drastic things to get good players there. Like,
sure.
Was it Mario Williams? Mario Williams got $100 million, and this is 10 years ago. And they said, if you leave, the offer's off the table. It's like, that's how you get good players, is basically, you know, keep them in your facility, throw a ton of money at them, and tell them that the deal's off the table if they leave.
That's what the Jets have to do.
The Jets, I mean,
the Jets can't get anyone to sign.
But the Jets have New York City. Like, that, that's at least something
matter.
That they've got, you know?
They have to overpay to get people.
It's crazy.
Or
you have to trade, like, 10 draft picks to get one quality player. I mean, the Buffalo Bills gave up so much to get Stephon Diggs, and it's just... You just, part of me is like, yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, who wants to live in Orchard Park? No offense, nicest people ever. But that place is...
I don't know about that.
Oh. No, not really.
No, they're not very nice.
Right. No. I mean, when I was walking down the road and a vehicle was going at the same pace as me and my friend, and it started off as an ass going up against the window as they were going at the same thing. Then the gentleman took his balls and put them out the window. Needless to say,
that's next level.
Needless to say, it was a warm weather game, so I mean, he didn't shrink. But yeah, he had his balls out the window.
Dude, the things I've seen in Buffalo, you're right. I say they're nice people. They're a little bit, you know, there's a griminess to Buffalo, I would say.
Yeah, I have a friend who is a Buffalo Bills fan who used to live in Rochester, who would take pills and drink with his parents being there, and then fall asleep in a chair like an hour before the game started and just sleep in the parking lot.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, I got the double rides from
good
an old
money
lady.
Some tickets.
Oh. I got. We're driving into to a game, and it's like tailgating, like you see at a college game, right? In a small town at a college, it's a suburban kind of area. When you drive up to the stadium, it's houses, and everybody, hey, you know, $20 to park here, and so in their front yard, and so everybody's tailgating. I had an old lady in a wheelchair giving our bus the double rides. I was like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. But to get back to the original point. I would always, 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 always be very, very hesitant to trade for a malcontent from another team and bring him to your team. What makes you think, you know, Stephon Diggs has always wanted to play with Josh Allen and live in Orchard Park, New York? I mean, I would have to find out that he's totally on board, all in, has always wanted to play for Sean McDermott, is excited to play for Josh Allen, wants to be part of what the Bills are doing, before I would give up that entire, you know, all the draft picks they gave up, which was a lot, before I'd even consider doing that. But a lot of teams, they don't do that, and so they just assume, well, he's getting traded, he's going to come here and be a professional, and all that stuff he had in Minnesota is going to go away. That's not necessarily true, guys.
All right, Ted, I need to find out, how is this defense going to be now that it's a little less creepy? Kyle Van Noy, one of the boogeymen, master boogeymen, doth left for Miami. He done got paid. And the locker room no longer seen ghosts.
That one backfired a little bit.
What shall happen to this defense? Now that the boogeyman doth gone.
Yeah, Kyle kind of pulled the trigger on that one a little bit too fast, I'd say. He, a lot of people are saying he got paid. I mean, he got paid. I guess.
No,
to me.
No, not like they said he was going
right.
to.
Right. It's okay. If you're
That's
an elite.
That's a lot of money, man. He got paid $51 million.
And forgive me, it's there's trying times, but I'm just feeling like if you're an elite edge rusher, You're getting a lot more money than that. You just are. I mean, Mario Williams
could make $14 million. That was like the maximum. He didn't get that, but I mean, he got pretty damn close.
It's a good contract. And I will say this as a side note to that. Do you know what's so great for players is if you have a coach who's so good, like Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, greatest coach of all time, no question about it. When you have coaches that leave to go to other teams, Patricia, Joe Judge, Brian Flores, et cetera, it gives guys that are on those Patriot teams, when those coaches were there, more opportunities in free agency. And it is like, it's such a great kind of dynamic that is there for players that play for the Patriots that have, you know, they make impressions on these coaches to go get head coaching jobs. Trey Flowers got paid. Yep. Deion Lewis got paid. Malcolm Butler got paid. So it's so good for Kyle Van Noy. So he got paid. I didn't think he got over. I think, you know, maybe you could argue that he got overpaid. But, you know, part of it is that dynamic where they go on to other places and then they want to sign you.
All right, so he's gone. Jamie Collins, you're talking about expatriates. You know, Matt Patricia said, hey, Jamie Collins, I'll give you $30 million to come play for Detroit. So you've got, you know, one very big piece and one pretty big piece missing from this defense. How much does that hurt it? I mean, at least you've got the McCourties. They're going to be sticking around. How do you think they're going to be able to fare without those two pieces? Because Van Noy was an important part of all the stuff they did last year.
Yeah. I feel like they can be okay. I mean, he was an important piece. There's no question. But a lot of Kyle Van Noy's success was he was a very good setter of the edge setter, which people are like, okay, you don't pay a guy a ton of money. But he was very disciplined player, very smart player. And he made a lot of plays, but it was a lot of it was off of working with somebody in conjunction with another guy on the defensive line, what they call two-man and three-man games. It wasn't a lot of Kyle Van Noy one-on-one just beating his guy. It was, one, his defensive end, he chips his guy, and then he loops around and makes plays. That's kind of what Kyle is good at. At those kind of, positions, the outside linebacker position in a Bill Belichick defense, that you just need smart guys, tough guys, more than anything. Maybe not, they don't have to be naturally gifted and super athletic and have this all-world kind of talent. They just have to be smart, disciplined, tough football players. And I'm saying those guys are a dime a dozen, but you can find guys like that to be to replay. And I don't think he was like this huge leader of that defense. I other than making boogeyman T-shirts, I don't think guys were. He was a flag carrier for that defense. If you know what I mean.
He was a playmaker.
He was.
By the way, this is a kind of interesting. This just in from Burt Breer. He said that the Patriots were another team that talked to the Vikings about Stephon Diggs on Monday. The Redskins had interest too, but their draft pick situation, they weren't going to trade their second overall pick, and they have no second rounder, made it tough. Yeah, I mean, with the Patriots and their draft pick situation, that must have made it tough as well for them. I mean, the haul that the Vikings ended up getting, which makes the whole DeAndre Hopkins situation even more insane, that Bill O'Brien basically just gave the guy away. So, I mean, I don't understand what the hell's going on.
Can you imagine? I mean, do you have the haul, the Stephon Diggs, what the Vikings got back in return, Rich, in front of you?
So here is what the Bills traded for Stephon Diggs. A first rounder, a fifth rounder, a sixth rounder, and a 2021 fourth rounder. If you want to know what they traded for, if you take a look at what they ended up trading for DeAndre Hopkins, it was, what's his name, Johnson's contract, David Johnson's full salary, full salary they ended up getting, and then I think it was a second rounder and a fourth rounder, and that's it.
For Hopkins and a four.
Yeah, I mean, Hopkins, and they got a fourth, right. So they traded fourth rounders, but it was a second rounder and David Johnson's full contract, and David Johnson sucks.
Okay. Hey, do you have any guesses as to why Bill O'Brien would make that trade? Like, what would be your assumption? From our vantage point, what do you think money. Bill O'Brien was thinking?
Money. Fred said it best. It's nude photos. It has to be. Cliff Kingsbury's got something on him. I don't know why you would do that.
It's a contract thing. I'll bet you anything Hopkins wanted a new deal.
Okay.
Still, you don't do that.
Of course not, much. But you want an excuse. I think that's it. That's the only thing that would prompt me. Yeah. He wants a new deal. He's going to hold out. I can't afford him. I have to get rid of him. But what he got for him was horrible.
I'm going to put my NFL insider hat on because this is fun and it's a rush. I was talking to a friend of the show, and so I don't want to claim it as the information I gleaned myself, but I was talking to Burt Breer last night, And Bert said, I don't think he basically alluded to there wasn't the best relationship maybe potentially with Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins. And I think a lot of it stems from what John just said, that he wanted a new deal. But there's something there in that relationship that Bill, I think, just was wanted to get rid of him. And, you know, you saw Bill O'Brien do the same thing kind of with Jadeveon Clowney. You know, yeah. Him and Jadeveon Clowney and Bill O'Brien did not get along. And so he has is I love the guy. I mean, he's always been good to me. But, he's also a guy I think that over time can maybe rub guys the wrong way. And so the word is that was kind of maybe the deal, is that him and Bill O'Brien weren't getting along, and so he shipped him out of there. And I talked to my buddy that does the morning show down there at Sports Radio 610 yesterday, and I asked him what the reaction was, and he basically said he just ripped the heart out of Texans fans. So it is not good. As much as he's getting dumped on up here, Bill O'Brien, it's 10 times worse down in Houston.
All right, well, yeah. When we get back after John Wallach's headlines, Ted, I've got something that I need to ask you about. This is a problem that you uniquely can have a unique perspective on. Somebody yesterday spoke about a problem that I know that is near and dear to your heart. I want to get your perspective
on it. All right, buddy, sounds good.
All right, here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I didn't get to be a sports expert until 2009.
Rich.
You would think you were at a children's birthday party.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson, studio. Rich, what do you got?
Okay, so Ted, there is... You talked to us yesterday about there being an issue with the thing that keeps you sane, the thing that keeps you going, the thing that gives your life a little bit of normalcy, and that is being able to get your pump on, right?
Yes. Yes, this is heartbreaking.
It is. And now, is your gym going to close? Because now that you've got the city came out and said they didn't want any gatherings of more than 10 people. I've read so much yesterday about so many different places. I wasn't quite sure if that meant... In Massachusetts, gyms are going to be closing. What about yours? Have you heard anything?
Rich, I talked to my buddy Tim over at Bayshore Athletic Club, who's the owner of that gym that I go to, and he's like, Teddy, I got to do it to you, man. We are right now being pushed and ordered to, essentially, to shut down the gym until April 7th, I believe. So that's 4 weeks. So I'm... You know, and I got tons of food delivered, and it's like, I mean, there's just cookies staring me in the face and chocolate chip muffins and staring me at my face. And if I don't have the ability to go burn that stuff off, I'm in big trouble. So I'm going to have to be very creative in how I work out. But that was a killer for me. That crushed me that the gym is shutting down. I get it. I mean, let's face it. You know, we're all on these weights. Not everybody, you know, wipes the plates off and their benches off. So yeah. I get it, but it's tough because, you know, in all kidding aside, it's my salvation. It's a lot of my, you know, working out is part. It's just part, a huge part of my lifestyle, and is a big kind of reason for my, you know, staying sober. It just really helps me stay on a path that a healthy path. So I'm going to have to really be creative and think outside the box on how I'm going to get my swole on now that the gym's closed for maybe the next month at least.
All right. Do you know who there's a guy who his name is Robert Frank. I believe he's a muscle guy. He's a good guy who like gives motivational stuff on his videos, on his Instagram and all that. Yesterday, he made this video. His name is Robert Frank. And this is him talking about how his gym just got closed down.
Mississippi, along with other states, are now closing schools, bars, clubs, restaurants, movie theaters, other public gathering places that hold over 50 people, which I get it. You're trying to stop a virus that you're never, ever going to stop. It is spreading way too rapidly, and there ain't nothing you can do about it right now. It's just the way it is. But now, today, is where they done up. Now, they are closing the gyms at 8 p.m. tonight until further notice, which a lot of up, including my gains and your gains, all because of this virus, which at this point 100 million people are going to get. It is a fact, Jack. Put it in the bank. And guess what? 99.9 million people are going to get better. It's the flu. I'm being insensitive, Robert Frank. People are going to die. They're weak. I've been preaching for years to be Jack, tan, juicy as that's how you survive. The strong survive, the weak die. Close my gym. I'm going to close your casket.
Oh, so, Ted.
They're getting rid of his gains, man. What are you going
to
do?
There has to be some kind of prison-style workout you can do that doesn't... doesn't make you go crazy like that.
Yeah, it's just, look, my apartment has a gym, but it's like, I mean, the dumbbells, Freddie, go up to 50 pounds. I mean, come on, what am I supposed to do with that?
It's inferior. Inferior.
I mean, seriously. I mean, a lat pull-down machine? Come on, a Bowflex machine? Please. For guys like me and Robert Frank there, insulting. So it's, you talk about an argument for maybe what steroids can do to you right there. But it's for all of us meatheads, and you were talking yesterday, Rich, about your the older members in your family and the idea of not going to church and what that would do to them. You know, and I said jokingly that my gym is my church. For a lot of us, meatheads, it is such a part of our, it's so much tied into our mental health. It just is. I'm sorry.
What are you going to do? Like, how are you going to fill that void? Are you going to have to go into the backyard and do it the old-fashioned way? Picking up, railroad ties.
Yeah, man.
Maybe putting all your kids on your shoulder and having to shoot jumping jacks with them.
I think so. I mean, I'm going to have to really kind of think outside the box. You can go along to Charles River and they have like little pull up machines. So you run from one station to the next. You do some sit ups. So, I mean, maybe look for me at the Charles, just running, doing sprints and then doing push ups and then doing pull ups on their pull up bars.
You get too lean. You're going to get too lean. That's the thing, is they don't have a men's rack at your gym anymore.
They don't. No, they don't have a men's rack anymore.
It just goes to 50.
That's right.
You're going to get too lean, Ted. You're going to lose mass. I mean, you're going to get ripped. You're going to get the vascular. But
here's what you can do. If you have, say, 30-pound dumbbells, and you have one of those, it's not a medicine ball, but those big bouncy balls, that people sit on at work.
Yeah.
You have one of those. You, believe it or not, you can probably do more than you think. It's a lot of kind of CrossFit style stuff. It's a lot of like using your own body weight stuff, burpees, and that kind of thing. So you can still put a decent workout together. But, if my gym shut down for a month, I'm going to lose a lot of the mass that I've worked so hard to get. So it's...
Well, once again, it all goes back to being in prison. This is you're talking about having no liquor and having to make your own. This is going to be kind of the same thing. It's like, how do people work out in prison? When they're in their cell, you just got to figure out a way to use your own body weight to do things. I saw this article came out because, this is legitimate. I mean, people who work out constantly, and then there's people who like lost a ton of weight and kept it off. And what do you do when you're sitting at home all the time? You eat. So there's got to be some sort of way to try to get the pounds off your body. And I saw this article that came out, 5 workouts to do during the coronavirus situation. I think this is from the Boston Globe. And I'm going to forward to you, Teddy J, because there's this woman you can watch. She does all these yoga things, which sounds like it'd be perfect for you.
Yep.
There's all these workouts I've never even heard of. Blowgelates. Okay. Which is a type, I don't know what a blow-gelate is, but apparently it's a mix
Ron's
of like
pictures.
I don't know who Gelate is, but he seems pretty lucky. But then there's, I'm not quite sure what this is. This is like this woman's down on all fours and kicking her leg out almost like a donkey.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, come on.
Come on, Teddy J.
That's a core exercise. Ted doesn't need that.
Maybe just throw Wallach around a little bit. That might work.
Have you ever taken a yoga class? All kidding.
I have. I took one of those hot yoga ones, and I sweat like a pig. I've never sweat more in my life.
You know what they consider the downward dog position to be?
Yes.
A resting pose. And I am like sweating, and my arms are shaking.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is no resting pose, that downward dog. So, you know, a yoga workout, you know, and with an honest effort, can be actually quite satisfying.
That's what my kids are doing every morning.
Oh, I know. Your son, yeah, he was so thrilled that his mom was making him do yoga.
Yeah, he was just thrilled about everything he has to do.
So
you're going to have to devise a prison style.
You know,
put it this way, Ted. You're going to get lean. I mean, and you'll be able to put the mask back on. You're going to get lean. You got to keep at it, and then you're going to. It will come right back. Don't worry about it.
All right, Freddie. You pump me up when it comes to the gym thing, man. But I was so funny how you were just giving, you know, just supporting me and having my back about going to the gym yesterday. And right as I walked in, they're like, Ted, I think we have some bad news for you. We're shutting down tomorrow for a month.
Yeah, who's laughing now, says the Peloton lady.
That's right.
That's what she said. She put up a tweet that said, it's not such an insulting gift now. Is the Peloton, so you can pretend to ride a bike in your house. All right, we'll be back with more of Ted Johnson. I feel bad for you because I know how much it means to you, the gym, and I feel bad that the guy really didn't want to shut down, and I'm sure it's going to cost the guy a ton of money, but what are you going
to
do?
We're going to have to suck it up, man. All us meatheads, we got to just figure it out, man. We'll be fine.
Yeah. All right. Hopefully, it is April 6th, and you can get back at it. All right.
What if you came back looking like Fat Thor in the Avenger movies?
Oh.
Like the next time we see you, you just got real fat.
It's we call that skinny fat. You know, where it's where you look like a soup sandwich. It's kind of like, you know what I mean? That's what my body will look like. Like you just dipped your sandwich in the soup and pulled it out.
A soup sandwich. That is my. I'm going to use that now.
That's what I'm worried about being is a soup sandwich in a mug.
I find it hard to believe. All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
No, Fred, come on, man. This is a family radio show.
No, it's not. Not really.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was actually told that they were a part of the DeAndre Hopkins discussions over the last couple of weeks. Will Fuller was another name that was bandied about. They're looking for receivers. They're looking for tight ends. So obviously, there's a close relationship there between Bill O'Brien and the Patriots organization that goes back a lot of years. I would say this, though. My understanding is part of the problem with DeAndre Hopkins in Houston, there was a little bit of a personality conflict between O'Brien and Hopkins. And it makes you wonder if maybe the Patriots had a little too much information on that. Maybe because they knew that, they thought that there could be an issue. And the other part of it, of course, is that Hopkins wants a new contract. He's going to get one in Arizona. And so are you willing to go to $20, $21, $22 million a year for a receiver?
At 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And
does that
what?
That clip right there, does that piss you off that when you see what DeAndre Hopkins ended up going for in that trade, which was a second rounder, a trading of fourth rounders, and then they took on Johnson's contract? Don't you think with the Patriots having like not a ton of like capital to trade, couldn't they have made that trade?
They could have, but then you have Stidham throwing to him, and who knows if that's going to be something that doesn't piss him off.
Well, we don't know if Stidham's going to be throwing to him. If you made a trade like that, don't you think that you could get Tom Brady a little...
But then you would have to pay him. You would have to pay him, too.
Because what he'd be coming back to is... Okay, so let's say you're Bill Belichick, and let's say you got DeAndre Hopkins, and you just franchised... what's his name?
Joe Tooney.
So you've got those two things. Can't you go to Tom Brady and go, Tom, we don't have a ton of money to give you, but look what we've done for you.
You have almost no money to give him at this point unless you trade Tooney somewhere else.
Yeah, we're going to have to give Hopkins a contract or he's going to be a malcontent.
I mean, less than $10 million against of cap room is what we're talking about at this point.
By the way, they just got like an extra $3 million because finally they ended up getting their money that they've been waiting for because of the Aaron Hernandez thing. So they ended up getting $3 million more in the cap. Not that makes a ton of difference, but that was out there too.
They still have to sign draft picks, you know. I mean, yeah, they have to maneuver money around, so... Yeah, I don't know if DeAndre Hopkins, I don't know if that was the right move.
It would be the first time, I think, right? I mean, you guys correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember. I mean, he did something for the first time in his career, that being Bill Belichick, that he never had done, which was draft a wide receiver in the first round, right? He never had done that until this past year. He's never paid for wide receivers. He just never. In his 20 years here, he's never paid top market value for a really great wide receiver. I mean, he got Randy Moss in a trade for a fourth round pick. So it's just not in his nature to want to, you know, pay a guy, you know, top market at that position particularly.
How many years does he have left, DeAndre Hopkins?
I think I'll check. Two? Yeah.
I think he's got three left.
Three? Yeah. He's got three years left.
So, I mean, that's reasonable. He's got 3 years left. Oh, here it is. Cap hits of 12.5, 13.5, and 13.9. Dude, that's not bad.
They can't afford it.
Yeah, Diggs,
by the way. They don't have the cap space to afford it at the moment.
Yeah, and Diggs has years left, too, and at a relatively cheap price. And he, you know, shot his way out of town. So... You're taking a gamble with that.
There's another dynamic that I always think kind of comes into play. If you're going to trade for a really top-end wide receiver, you better kind of have, not only a strong culture and good head coach, which they do here, but you also need to have a good quarterback. I think it can go south really fast if DeAndre Hopkins isn't, you know, completely happy. It's the Stephon Diggs argument that I was making earlier about the Buffalo Bills. It's like if you have a guy that's a malcontent or wants more money or isn't happy, which it sounds like when you listen to Burt Breer talk about DeAndre Hopkins is maybe the case, then I just think you take on a lot of risk not knowing where that player's head is going to be and if he's going to be fully accepting of his new environment. I just think it's a lot to give up for the unknown of whether or not he's going to be all in or not.
All right. And plus, are the Texans going to make a deal with the Patriots? Probably not. Albert, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rich, a couple of minutes ago, you made like the 20th stupid comment of the morning. You know, the Patriots could get DeAndre Hopkins and say, Tom, look what we did for you. I'm just going to try to help you guys. Just give me 5 seconds. I'm going to try. The Patriots don't want Tom.
You're the guy that calls, and you're Albert from Rhode Island, right? You're the professional sports radio caller, aren't you?
But Rich.
Listen, you're right. You're right. I don't think they want him either, but you're the guy who, like, is a professional sports radio caller, right?
Rich, let's not play that.
You, like, call every station, don't you? And people bite into they take the cheese, don't they?
They offered him $500,000.
You won't answer my question. You like calling stations like every show like five times a day, and like everyone goes, oh, but you're wrong, and they bite into it, right?
Rich, let's not make... Okay, do the Patriots want Tom Brady back in reality, Rich?
You're that guy. You're that guy, aren't you? Admitted Albert. Oh, he hung up. Okay.
Yeah. It's been about 15
years.
That's
Albert from Rhode Island.
15 years for Albert, yes.
And everyone goes, hey, but you're wrong. We're right. When that's just kind of his thing. So we got a flamethrower on line one. Oh, my goodness gracious. He's ready to drop some truth bombs on us.
Is there, just quickly, guys, is there, I made that argument, and I got crucified. I said on the Early Edition last Friday that I just don't think Bill doesn't want Tom as a quarterback anymore. I think there's enough evidence to suggest that's the case, and I think maybe the difficult thing of putting together a team, at least, you know, putting pieces on offense that would attract Tom Brady to come, you know, re-sign with you, I feel like the timing of free agency doesn't lend itself to kind of do that. Like, you're not going to all of a sudden, in the first 2 days of free agency, try and bring in guys. I think that it's too late because Tom's already going to be fielding offers from other teams. And so the timing of it all, I think it's very difficult to assimilate an offense that's going to attract Tom to you when he's going to be a free agent at the same time. I just think it's just always an argument that I always question because of the timing of it.
Well, you can get Robbie Anderson. He's sitting out there. He'll change everything. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Well, just in time for St. Patrick's Day, crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Crichton area of Mobile say a leprechaun has taken up residence in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community, many of you bringing binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in the tree. Who else seen the leprechaun? Say yeah! Yeah!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.